This is Pastor Dwayne Kaysen, New Berean Baptist Church. We are in our midweek Bible study, and we are looking at what we believe here at New Berean Baptist Church. We're looking at our doctrinal beliefs, and if you go to the website at NBBC Ministries, you'll find in the menu a section called Doctrinal Beliefs and what we believe. And that is what we are looking at. I'm looking right now at the website. The first of the doctrines that we are looking at is called the Bible. We're looking at the section here that talks to the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. And this is what the basis of what we believe here at New Berean Baptist Church begins with, and it is the Bible. In our theme scripture here, of course, is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. So that's the area that we're looking at. We are in part two of our series. Part one, of course, was also the Bible. We're in part two of the Bible, so let us pray. Lord, we thank you and we love you for the Word of God. We thank you for giving us this revelation of who you are, this love letter to us that we are using as the basis of what we believe here at New Berean Baptist Church. We ask that you would give us a great time studying your Word in part two of this series. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, what do we believe at New Berean Baptist Church? Well, if we go to the Bible, you can find out what we believe. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 says that those were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And that's talking about folks that were at a place called Berea, where we get our name, New Berean Baptist Church. And we're studying part two of the Bible, the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament. It says here on our website that these are the basis of what we believe here. So we're in part two, and our primary verse, of course, is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. What are we talking about when we're looking at the Bible? Well, in part two of our messages, it says that all scripture is God-breathed or inspired and is useful for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Another way of looking at that is that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. And why? Verse 17 tells us, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we'll be studying that today in part two. So why do we need the Bible? What is it useful for? What is the Bible all about? Well, we are looking at that today. Can I take you to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy in verse 16, where it says that all scripture is given by, here's this word, inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, in verse 17, may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The first piece of information for us here is that It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 is the word inspiration. Inspiration. The Greek is theopneustos. That's two phrases in the Greek language here, and it means God breathed, or to be more precise, breathed out. That's inspiration. God breathed, or God breathed out. That's where we get this word inspiration. Now, for you and I, inspiration is more of a creative impulse that we as human beings in the English language would call inspiration. For instance, you might be LeBron James, and his inspiration was Michael Jordan. Now, Michael Jordan's inspiration was Dr. J and the way he dunked the basketball. If someone liked Martin Luther King Jr., and perhaps you were Jesse Jackson, and your inspiration was Martin Luther King Jr. I liked Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Commodores, and on the back of the Commodores album, Zoom, they had this word that, thanks for that Tuskegee inspiration. And so I wanted to know what the Commodores were all about. And so I was able to go to Tuskegee Institute to learn and see just what that inspiration was all about. But that's not the same thing when we look at God's word in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. That word inspiration is not speaking of an inspired desire to be, or the creative impulse to be like someone, or to learn what someone else was all about. It is God breathed, or God breathed out. I want you to think of a balloon. Just pick up a balloon in your mind, and you're going to put it to your mouth, and you're going to breathe into the balloon. What you're actually doing is breathing out. Now, if you take that balloon and you twist it after you have blown into the balloon, what's inside the balloon? Well, it is air that you breathed out. And if we were to test the innards of that balloon, the DNA would mean that you were the source of the air that is now in the balloon. It is your air, belongs to you. You are the source. Inside that balloon is the source of air which belongs to you. If I'm thinking of an instrument and I'm going to write a song, and I'm going to blow into this instrument my song, it would be my song. What do you hear out of a trumpet? You're hearing my song. Well, if I pick up a tuba and I'm still playing my song, what are you hearing? You're hearing my song out of a different instrument. If I get a harmonica and I blow into the harmonica my song, you're hearing my song, but you're hearing it out of a different instrument. Well, whether you are Paul, or whether you are Peter, or whether you are Jeremiah, they were all different instruments used by God. But what did you hear out of Jeremiah, or out of Paul, or out of Peter? You heard the word of God. I'm using these things because we're going to be talking about two passages of scripture, looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And also, we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. Both of them are going to be used today to describe the inspiration and how the Holy Spirit used holy men moved by God to deliver the Word of God inerrant to you and to I. So the words theopneustos, that's P-N-E-U-S-T-O-S, means inspired by God. That's God breathed. It is the breath of God. God breathed out. This inspiration is the process by which God gives his written revelation to man. The Holy Spirit superintended the human writers of Scripture so that what they wrote in God's Word to us without error in the original autograph or the original writings. Now, revelation covers what God is communicating, but inspiration involves how God communicated his word. So the key scripture here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, for us folks at New Berean, is that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in right living or righteousness. And that's important to us. You see, God's word, if we're going to stand on it, we need to know that it is without error as originally revealed to us in all matters. Jesus Christ, saints, he endorsed it without question. What do I mean by that? Jesus Christ used the word of God himself. You see, Abel was a real person. We know that by the way that Jesus told us in Luke 11 and verse 51, where it reads, and he is saying, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary, he says, yes, I tell you, this generation will be responsible for it all. So Jesus is referring to Abel, who was a person in the book of Genesis. That's Luke chapter 11, verse 51. Jesus is endorsing the word of God. Not only that, but if you would look at Luke 17, looking at verses 26 through 30, you will find that Jesus speaks about Noah and he speaks about Lot. Jesus says in verse 26, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. And if you go to verse 28 of Luke 17, you'll see him say that it was the same as in the day of Lot. Wait a minute now. Lot goes back, way back to Genesis. Jesus is using Lot. He's a real person that Jesus is referring to. And then over in verses 29 through 30, he refers to Sodom as Gomorrah, as they were destroyed by God. He talks about Sodom in that particular instance. Jesus also, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 15, he is speaking of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment. He says, truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment. So Jesus is using scripture himself in referring to Abel, in referring to Noah, in referring to Lot, in referring to Sodom and Gomorrah. Not only that, but if you would look in Matthew chapter 8, verse 4, and Luke chapter 24, and verse 44, you'll see him speaking about the Pentateuch, Moses, who wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Jesus also refers to the prophet Daniel in Matthew 24 and verse 15, speaking about the abomination of desolation as spoken of by Daniel the prophet. So Jesus is using scripture referring to these Old Testament characters. It includes Jonah in Matthew chapter 12, verses 29 through 41. So if Jesus, the Son of God, the Word himself, according to John chapter 1 and verse 1, that Jesus was with God, Jesus was God, he was the Word of God himself. If he is using scripture as he is teaching, if I can believe that Jesus Christ, the one that I trust, is trusting the scripture, and he's using the scripture to teach people the Word himself, then why not also trust the Word of God as it is given to us as a foundation here at New Berean Baptist Church? If we believe that Jesus could do no wrong, and he is trusting the scriptures in his teaching, then certainly I can trust the Word of God for my daily living, for reproof, for correction, and for training in right living. In fact, if I were to go to Mark chapter 12 and verse 26, I'll see that Jesus is referring to the burning bush as he is talking to these folks, saying, "Have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the burning bush, how God spoke to him, saying, 'I am'?" Now, he got in trouble with that one, but he's referring to the "I am," and Jesus is the "I am" in the burning bush. So we see him talking about Jonah and the fish, or he called him the whale. So when we look at how Jesus and what he thought about the Word of God and how he trusted it, then we certainly can trust the scriptures. We see Jesus even using the scriptures as he is in the wilderness there in the Gospel of Matthew, where he is having discussions with Satan. So in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, he refers to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, which talks about man shall not live by bread alone, but by the very words that come out of the mouth of God. He refers to scripture and he says, "For it is written," in Matthew 4 and verse 4, Matthew 4 and verse 7, Matthew 4 and verse 10, as he's having these discussions with Satan as he's being tempted or tested there in the wilderness. But not only that, what about 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21? Where he's speaking about the prophets that came not in old times, but by the will of man, but holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did a supernatural thing here to bring the Bible to us today. See, God used the Holy Spirit to inspire, or God breathe, or breathe out, or blow into man in a divine influence as he gave his message to the human authors who received it and wrote it down. That's why I wanted to start off with that illustration, if you will, about a trumpet, a tuba or a trombone, and a harmonica or a flute. Irregardless of which instrument one uses, it's always by the person who is blowing into it, it is his song. And when God uses Peter or Paul or John or Jeremiah, he is blowing into them the word of God, so that what we hear, irregardless of which style of writing it is still the word of God. And the Holy Spirit is superintending it so that it is always known that that which we hear is indeed the word of God. My father was a band director, and I happened to be his son. And I would try and play my trumpet, and I would get as far away from him as I could because he was always superintending me as I'm trying to play the music from my trumpet. And if I got the note wrong, he would say, Wayne, B flat. I can hear him saying it now while I'm in the tree trying to get as far away from him as possible. He's in the kitchen cooking dinner, but I can hear him say, Wayne, B flat. And if you were in his band and you were playing a note that wasn't right, he would pluck your finger. He will pluck anybody's finger. It didn't matter who you were, you were going to play it right. For he was superintending, making sure that what we were playing was correct. He will pluck our fingers, and the Holy Spirit superintended the scriptures as he was being, as these holy men of God were being used to write the word of God in the original text. So these are great things to know as we look at God's word, for the Bible tells us that it is given to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, inspiration from God. Now, we're going to use this teaching from God in many different ways. Now, there'll be priests, there'll be teachers in school, there'll be folks and pastors that we're listening to, and these are the sources that we're hearing. But may I add that the correct source is not the person, but it is the book itself. For instance, if I'm talking about the subject of salvation and I'm looking at Romans chapter 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, that scripture that comes from the word of God, Romans was written by the apostle Paul, but it was God who saved us, and this scripture is what I'm basing it on. Not because Paul was a great teacher, but because he was giving me the word of God. And here it says that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has saved, raised him from the dead, that you will be saved, then I can count on that as God letting me know that's how I know that I'm saved. Also, if I go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and I'm going to read, "For by grace you will be saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So if someone is telling me that I need to make a certain sound on the mourner's bench, or that if you get baptized, then you will be saved, I can say, no, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 tells me something different. It's not some act that I'm doing. It's I'm being saved through faith. And it's not of myself. It is the gift of God, according to the scriptures that I'm reading. We can state it clear as a bell that it is God raising him from raising and giving me salvation through faith in Christ. Not my school teacher, not my pastors, not something else that I'm listening to, but the Word of God. They can tell me what God's Word says, but my belief and my faith is resting on God's Word. So when I see 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it says it's profitable for teaching, then I'm basing that on the Word of God. Also, if I go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says it's for reproof. What is reproof? It is pointing out an error. That means the Bible is able to show me whether I'm wrong on a certain point or a certain issue. For instance, if I thought that good works would save me, well, 2 Timothy chapter 3 says that I can go to the Bible to see if I'm in error. And I can then go to Romans 10:9 again, because it's profitable for me. I will see that I do not believe what it says if I say that it works, because I find that it is not. According to the scriptures, it was if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart. So that's that scripture pointing out an error. Suppose I'm having a problem with bitterness or wrath or anger, and I think that I'm okay with that. Well, Ephesians 4 and verse 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor and evil speaking be put away from me with all malice. So if I'm bitter, if I'm wrathful, and the Bible tells me that that's wrong, then God is correcting, is showing me that I have a fault and I need to do something about it. Well, what can I do? I can go to the scriptures and find out that God can forgive me for my sins. Correction is always necessary, and it's a complement to this thing we call reproof. To have the reproof of something that we've done is wrong, and correcting it is the right thing to do. In the case of Ephesians 4:31, where it's read that it's not enough just to read verse 31, but I need to go to verse 32, because 32 says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted. And then it says, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So I can not only find the reproof pointing out an error, but I can also find that by forgiveness that I can correct that problem, according to Ephesians 4 and verse 32. And the great thing about it is that I can have the training in righteousness, training in right living. All these things in the Bible are profitable for me for training in right living. Because it says there in the 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17 that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The reason that God gave us the Bible and it's useful or profitable for all these things is that the man of God may be perfect. That means mature. By applying what the Bible says, that I'll be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The good works that are spoken of here are not for eternal security, but that God is using these things to prepare us for the work that we're going to do as we walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 talks about that. So if you want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work, you're going to need to have God's textbook, the Bible, so that we can do these things and we will be useful in God's work. That is why we have the Bible, and that's what we are going to base all the things that we believe here at New Berean Baptist Church on, the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed, or given by inspiration, is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, for rebuking or reproof, for correction and training in righteousness and right living. Why? And verse 17 says, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Next time that we meet, we'll be talking about God. That is the doctrine that we're going to be looking at. Who is God? What is God all about? What about that Trinity thing? I don't understand that, Brother Case, and we're going to be talking about that in our next session. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us an understanding of your word as we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. We who are here at New Berean Baptist Church, we want to know what it is that we believe, what we're standing on. We thank you for giving us the Word of God. We thank you for giving us 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 so that we can have a foundation to stand on for that which we believe here at our local assembly. We thank you, Father, for giving us the Holy Spirit to help us to understand your word. And we thank you for giving us the Jesus Christ, the Lord and our Savior, for giving us this opportunity to come through salvation to serve you and to continue to walk in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.